Well, hello everybody and welcome back to the last episode in Series 5. It's episode 20. Oh my god. This week's episode, what is it about? Well, thanks to Fiona for this one. She wanted to know a little bit more about humour. So I do hope I fulfil her question. Now, according to the general consensus, it is described as the quality of being amusing or comical, especially as expressed in literature or in speech. So, it is to provoke laughter or amusement. No matter where we come from, we will always respond to humour, but we'll respond to it in different ways, such as a smile or by laughter or jumping around the place, hanging out the ceiling. However, we will not always laugh at the same humour or joke. To give you an example, I'll give you a therapist joke. So, in session, the therapist tells her client to write individual letters to everyone who wronged her and then burn them to gain some sort of peace and to let go. Client comes back the following week and says she has done what the therapist had recommended. And then she asks, what should I do with the letters? Now, how many of you laughed at that? And how many of you didn't? Think about it. What you find funny, somebody else may find a pile of crap. What do we do with that? Do we judge it? If we're in a group and somebody starts laughing at somebody's joke and we think, oh my God, why are they laughing at that? It's so stupid. Or you laugh at a joke that you're not finding funny, but you're doing it because everybody else is laughing. Again, why do you do that? If you don't find something funny, then you don't find something funny. Why do you pretend? So as you can see, humour is a personal thing. What makes you smile or laugh may not make somebody else smile or laugh. There are many reasons for this, such as culture, location, maturity, education, you know, context, and even intellect. Our Western humour began, I believe, with Plato, who maintained that, if I remember this correctly, it goes something like this. The essence of the ridiculous is an ignorance of the weak, who are unable to retaliate when ridiculed. And even Aristotle suggested, and again I'm going to paraphrase, the ugliness that does not disgust is the basis to humour. It has also been suggested, and mainly agreed, that humour can be seen as a major factor in sustaining a lighter psychological well-being. But we know that already. Now, there seems to be four main types of humour. One, affiliative style humour, which is for reducing tension or amusing others by jokes. Number two, self-enhancing humour, used as a coping mechanism to cope with stress, as it looks at, I suppose, more humorously at life itself. Number three, aggressive humour. Now, this is used by people who do not see or want to see the consequences of what they say, such as racist jokes, sarcasm, you know, disparaging jokes about people. And then number four, self-defeating humour. And this is used by people who may not feel socially accepted and may also have an implicit feeling of negativity. It is mainly used to hide from a person's inner self-negativity. There was some study done back a few years ago where it was noted that both affiliative and self-enhancing humour are actually connected to people who have a much better self-esteem, a greater self-competency, along with less anxiety and more social connectedness, which does help our mental health and to be more balanced. However, aggressive and self-defeating humour are more connected to people who have a low self-esteem, with much greater levels of anxiety and depression. So then, I have to ask the question, what are the effects of such types on our psyche? Well, as I've said before, humour is often used to lighten a difficult or stressful situation. It's also used in social situations to change the atmosphere. With this in mind then, it would also, I suppose, be reasonable and understanding to assume that it may have some very positive effects on our mind, our body, and our spirit. Now, we also know that this positive effect has a huge benefit to our tolerance with pain levels. Actually, I think a recent study was done in either the UK or America, I can't remember which, and it stated that there is a link to having a healthy immune system and when you use humour, when you're more positive. It has also been suggested that there is a link between laughter and cardiovascular exercise, and it might even increase muscle tone. Dear God, I think I'll have to start laughing myself. I'd probably lose a bit of weight as well. Even in ageing, humour is said to be really beneficial. And there are three areas that I'm aware of at the minute. Now, there's probably more, but here's the three that I can think of. One, physical health. Two, obvious, social communications. And three, to help achieve satisfaction in life. Now, I know this can be for any age, but think about it, if you get older, people stop taking you seriously, they ignore you, and it can be very hard on somebody who's aged, who has all the wisdom that we need, and nobody's taking them seriously. So it can actually help to achieve satisfaction in life, to give us the motivation to keep going, and I say we because I'm getting to that point. We all are. So we need humour in our lives to keep us motivated, to keep us alive, to keep us feeling, yes, I can do these things. Now, an obvious one is culture perception. Most people would experience humour throughout their day and in different situations and in many different social contexts. But if you're from another country, a joke in Ireland may not be understood or appreciated from somebody who's, we'll say, from the Eastern countries. So it can be a cultural perception. And what might hurt you by something somebody says may be okay in another country or in another culture. Now, here's a question that I've heard mentioned about stand-up comedians. Can humour be taught? Well, Stanford University offer business studies on humour, especially in the workplace, with the main goal being to teach power and importance of humour, to make positive change in the world by achieving business goals, to be more effective within the organisation, to create stronger bonds or relationships with customers. Look, we all have an innate sense of humour, but not all of us have a good sense of humour. Have you ever listened to a stand-up comedian or somebody who's being funny on television or radio and wondered, why do people around me find certain jokes funny and we sit there confused? Well, learning about humour is not always the same as delivering humour in the right way. Now, there are some professionals that are divided about humour being innate or a learnable trait. If you think about it, we all have had a good laugh, even when it comes to people who we thought were humourless. So maybe if we want to improve our own humour, we must try seeing life a little bit funnier. There are even theories around humour in psychology, such as relief theory, where it focuses on more motivational mechanisms of interpersonal needs. It relieves tension and stress. A second theory is superiority theory, which mainly focuses again on interpersonal mechanisms, usually with the function of raising a person's self-esteem, which means that this kind of humour is coming from feelings of triumph, especially around the mistakes or errors or even misfortune of other people, which obviously then promotes self-enhancement, which leads to the feeling of superiority. A third theory would be incongruity theory, which obviously focuses on cognitive mechanisms, especially around our perceptions, but also our interpretation as well. Its function is usually that of anticipating another outcome than what we thought was going to be the ending. So imagine yourself listening to a joke and you anticipate the punchline, and when the punchline actually happens, it's different to what you imagined or were expecting. Some psychologists have put together 6 virtues and 24 character strengths, which can seem to be crucial in allowing a person to thrive. Here are just a few of them. Now, you can look these up yourself. Wisdom and knowledge, the thriving, creativity and curiosity. Humanity, kindness and love. Justice, fairness and leadership. Transcendence, gratitude and humour. Think about it while you listen to this.
You can be, oh, you can be. Life's your canvas, sketch your dream. You can be, oh, you can be. Make no compromise, no, no, me. There'll be times when you must change. Circumstance will be as such that to remain would hollow out all the riches from your casting shadows, it may seem wind beneath the leaves. And you can be, oh, you can be. Life's your canvas, sketch your dream. You can be, oh, you can be.
So how can we explore or maximise these strengths? Here's a list for you. Why not try to listen to some stand-up comedy? Spend more time around people who are funny. Don't allow other people to tell you what you find funny. Try some books that are funny. Listen to podcasts on comedy. And here's the one that I totally agree with, and that is, do not be afraid to embrace your inner child. Remember that, like anything, if you have a positive side, then you also have a dark side. And humour is no different. So be aware that when you're being funny, there is also the possibility of having a negative. So be aware of that. Not everyone sees things the way you see them. Not everybody will hear what you say in the same way. And sometimes, as we've known from some of the comedians, although you're funny on the outside, you may not feel funny on the inside. So be conscious of that. Now, here are a couple of quotes on humour which I think are quite funny in themselves. If I had no sense of humour, I would have long ago have committed suicide. And that was said by Mahatma Gandhi. People with a sense of humour tend to be less egocentric and more realistic in their view of the world, and more humble in moments of success, and less defeated in times of travail, in other words, trouble. That was said by Bob Newhart. Thomas Mann said, "Laughter is a sunbeam of the soul." W.C. Fields, "I am free of all prejudice. I hate everyone equally." Robert Frost, "If we couldn't laugh, we would all go insane." Honest good humour is the oil and wine of a merry meeting, and there is no jovial companionship equal to that where the jokes are rather small and the laughter abundant. Washington Irvine. Outside of a dog, a book is man's best friend. Inside of a dog, it's too dark to read. Groucho Marx. And Ralph Emerson himself, "The earth laughs in flowers." So, as they say in normal papers, in conclusion then, the role of humour can be both a defence mechanism and a character strength. Self-enhancing humour is highly beneficial in supporting human thriving. The positive benefits of humour are enhanced positive mood, life contentment, higher self-esteem, creativity, social connections, and finally, emotional resilience. And finally, another finally, humour plays a very important role in buffering the impact of stress, and it can have a positive benefit to our overall well-being, and that is for everyone, not just myself. Stay well, stay safe, namaste.
Hands up.